101.3 FM, KRNG, Fallon, Reno, Fernley, Sparks, Nevada, and surrounding. Biggest Little Radio presents the Rural Report with Robert Ray.
Hello, everybody. I'm Robert Perea, publisher and editor of the Fernley Reporter, and this is the Rural Report on Biggest Little Radio 101.3 FM. And today I'm going to be talking with Fernley Mayor Roy Edgington. Thanks for coming on the show.
My pleasure, anytime.
If you have a question for the mayor while we're talking here, you can call a hotline here at 404-1115 or type in a message on the chat box at biggestlittleradio.com. And a lot going on in the city, but first of all, just want to mention the shooting in Las Vegas, and we're kind of talking about that here just before we went on the air, but a tragic situation. But you as a mayor, you're talking about how really there's not a whole lot you can do to prevent things.
How do you plan for something like that? How do you, you know, there was no indication the guy had a problem, no mental health, you know, no threats. He wasn't known to law enforcement. It was just a lone individual. And I mean, you know, all those people, they were just out to have a good time. And they just at the wrong place at the wrong time. It was horrible. You know, and it's just not just the 59 who are deceased and 500, over 500 injured. I mean, look at all the family members and the people that were there. They're, and the first responders, they all have to deal with that trauma afterwards. I mean, I've gone to mass casualty incidents, and you stand there, you know, you're almost paralyzed, but you do your job, you get them in and out, and when you go by somebody you know that's dead, and you obviously know they're dead, and there's nothing you can do for them, you move on to somebody that's alive and try to save their life. That weighs heavy on your soul. So to all of the families and the victims, you know, our prayers go out if there's anything we can do. Obviously, I called Mrs. Hooper and I said, you know, not that a little city from Fernley can, but I understand Reno sent some police officers to help do the investigation. And so if there's anything we can do, you know, it's just a tragedy. It's and the sad thing is we'll probably never, ever know why. You know,
yeah, that's going to be one of the hardest parts. But you know, you mentioned people having a good time. That seems to be kind of the latest trend in these attacks. The nightclub shooting in Orlando and the guy crashing into the people on the in Paris and in Spain and all of those things. So it seems like that's the new way of attacking is to attack events where people are celebrating.
You know, the those attacks, like, they're trying to get a political message, but what's sad here is there's no political message or no message at all. And I think that makes it even worse because why? You ask yourself over and over again why.
Yeah.
So, tragedy.
Now, we don't have a large venue here in Fernley, but as the mayor, and you've worked with law enforcement, some kind of a plan in case of a major incident here somewhere.
They practice. The SWAT team practices, the deputies practice. You know, like everything else, schools across the nation have had incidents, so we've exercises at the schools. You know, they try to stay abreast as much as possible. But again, you just can't plan for everything. You just do the best you can.
So, getting into a more local kind of stuff, a lot of things that the council has been involved in recently, and one of the things was the last meeting approved a couple of ordinances for zoning and regulations for medical marijuana facilities.
They made the steps forward to allow a medical marijuana dispensary to come. They have a set of rules and zoning and stuff. The way we did it was we will set up the rules and everything, then notify the state, and then the state will take applicants, and then they will rank them and then send them to us. And whoever is the number one applicant comes to us, and we say, okay, here's our rules, blah, blah, blah. I don't want to do this. Okay, well, thank you for your time. Who's number two? you know, these are the rules we want to do, you know, and we'll negotiate with them if they're unreasonable. But most of these rules came out of the city of Sparks, city of Reno. We looked at a broad section. They've already had this for several years. I know one of the bone of contention is, well, what are we going to bring in? Nobody really knows because nobody knows what the sale is going to be. We'll see. So this is the first step.
One of the things I was curious about, this was for medical marijuana facilities, and during the discussion where this happened, the question came up, what about down the line recreational marijuana?
This is the first step towards recreational marijuana. Mm-hmm. The rules will go into play sometime in the next, probably November, December. The state taxation had till the end of the year to come up with rules. So whoever gets in here with medical marijuana will be allowed to fast track and get recreational marijuana. Once that's completed, then there'll be no growth allowed in the city of Fernley or within 25 miles of the dispensary.
The state's going to rank the applicant once the city notifies the state that everything's in place and you're open for business, essentially, and then the state will do all the legwork. Then
right, that takes the politics out of us locally.
Are you then obligated to take whoever they rank number one, and can you choose somebody else on the list, or do you have to go down the list in order that they're recommended by the state?
You know, that came up in conversations privately, and it's my understanding, you know, we'd really be hard-pressed. We'd have to prove that that individual couldn't qualify, and I'm not sure that we would have them. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, we do have the right, so it'd be a tough one. We'd have to be able to prove that the state made an error or whatever, and they're going to be fairly thorough on what they do. Like I said, it's one of the things about Nevada is we've had gaming and we've tightened down, and they've followed a lot of the gaming rules and regulations. You know, not necessarily that, but the principles, the guidelines on what can and cannot be done and stuff. So I did take a tour, or I went to West Wendover, and they did theirs a little different. They ranked it. They went in and got the regulations, and then they're going to. They asked for an RFP, a proposal, and then they're going to rank it themselves. But what they did is took the council out, and they just did it with the city manager, finance director, and I forget who the third person is. Mm-hmm. And they'll rank them, and then they'll notify the state that they accept applicant X or Y or whoever it is. Mm-hmm. Then I went down and I talked to North Las Vegas. I spent a lot of time with the assistant city manager down there and talked about their program and how they went and did their program. Like I said, I'm looking forward to seeing if we can get some revenue. And
Speaking of revenue, my understanding is that while there's a lot of people out there that think this will be a windfall for the city and massive amounts of money, my argument is that it really won't be in comparison to your budget as a whole. It'll be a very small amount of money.
Yeah, probably. I would be happy if we brought in what we get for C-Tax. If we brought in $150,000 a year, like I said, it's not like the money. When I talk to Las Vegas and I talk to some of the others, is really if you can get into cultivation and manufacturing, that's where then all of a sudden, you know, a dispensary brings in X amount of money. But it's when you cultivate and when you manufacture and make products, that's where the revenues come in for the community.
Do you guys have any kind of projections? Has the city done any studies along those lines yet about?
No, all I can do is give you a rough estimate of what Mesquite got. But again, Mesquite has, not only do they have a dispensary, they also have a manufacturing facility, from what I understand, a growth. Mm-hmm. So, which next week I'm going to go down to the League of Cities convention. I'm going to try and go over and look at their facilities and see what they brought in. So on my list of stuff to do.
The tax on the medical marijuana is much lower than the recreational.
But yes.
Even that, the way I understand that, even though it's taxed 15% statewide, the city would only get like 3% of the gross receipts. Is that
we're in negotiations with the county? It was a tentative agreement. we're writing an MOU now, a memorandum of understanding, that we talked to a couple of commissioners and the county manager, and since it's in the city and it's our, they've agreed to let us keep all of it. So we'll see how that goes.
The you guys have the consultants that the city uses, legislative consultants and capital partners. And I know at one of the discussions that you guys had at a council meeting, I believe it was Mindy Elliott, when you guys were discussing, you know, well before these ordinances came about, maybe a few months ago while the legislature was still in session. And I believe she said the medical marijuana facility in Sparks reported gross receipts of about $20 million last year. And I was just figuring out some math. If you're getting 3% of that, and that seems like that a high total. I have no idea what a facility in Fernley would bring in, but $20 million seems like a high total. But at 3% of $20,600,000, that's not even enough to pave a mile of a road.
Well, it's a start, and it's better than we had yesterday. Number one, number two. Again, the city of Sparks is a little different animal. You're talking about a community of 100,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
Reno, Sparks, right. Washoe County area, you're looking at about 400,000.
Right. That's why
you add in the tourist and everything else. Like
that's
I said,
why I think $20 million for a facility there is probably higher than
right.
So what you would think someone here would.
So again, I caution everybody. Let's see what it brings in. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's got to bring in more than we brought in yesterday. I had a conversation with the head of NDOT's head engineer, Thor. And we were talking about USA Parkway, the new road that goes to the backside to Silver Springs from the industrial park. And I said, so, you know, everybody asked me, are we going to lose traffic? And I go, okay, probably some of the trucks that come out of Walmart will just go over the hill and head south to Las Vegas and stuff. But realistic, do you guys have any idea? And he looked at me and he says, you know, I've been in this for a long, long time, all my life. And I'll be honest with you, each road takes on a life of its own. You have one expectation, and all of a sudden you find out it doesn't even come close to that.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing with this. We can have an expectation, and I caution everybody to be careful. The intent was to provide, per law, by state, the ability to buy marijuana legally, and that it would be taxed. And most important, from my perspective, it'd be closely regulated, and that it's pure, and that it's you know, healthy. It doesn't have chemicals and what have you. And that we don't have any growth. We don't have any cartels coming in here and stuff. And we'll have some problems. I know we will. But that was the whole intent of doing this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see what it comes out to.
Is there any regulations yet that say what the city can use its portion of the receipts from?
From what I understand, it goes all in a general account.
So it goes into general fund, and then you can just use it for anything.
We need a swing set. We can get a swing set if we need some road money. We need somebody in the parks to clean toilets, and that's what we'll get, somebody in the parks to clean up the restrooms and pick up trash and do whatever we need done.
Mm-hmm. How long of a time frame might we be looking at that before the city notifies the state that it's open and the state does its in all, you know, all of its process?
I'm not sure right off the top of my head. We haven't had a chance to talk. We figure in the next few weeks we'll be able to let them know.
All right. I'm visiting with Mayor Roy Edgington, and this is the Rural Report on Biggest Little Radio, 101.3 FM. We have a short break coming up, but if you'd like to ask the mayor a question, give us a call at 404-1115 or go to the chat box at biggestlittleradio.com, and we'll be right back after a short message.
Follow the conversation on our chat box at www.biggestlittleradio.com. 3 Biggest Little Radio presents the Rural Report with Robert Gray.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Robert Perea. publisher and editor of the Fernley Reporter, and this is the Rural Report on Biggest Little Radio 101.3 FM, and I'm talking with Fernley Mayor Roy Edgington. So if you have a question, give us a call at 404-1115 or on the chat box at biggestlittleradio.com. Right before we went on break, you mentioned USA Parkway, and they just opened that up earlier in September. And you said it would take a while for notice any kind of a change in traffic patterns in Fernley. One of the main projections I know was that you kind of thought that maybe some truck traffic would be reduced, but is there anything yet that you've seen that shows an impact?
We haven't. I know I talked to Kate Bannett out at the airport, and she said she hasn't noticed anything in the during the daytime. Mm-hmm. Like I said, the nice thing is it's the second way in and out, so if the freeway's cut off here, you can always go out the back valley and around to Carson and what have you. There's another way to get home.
Mm-hmm.
And I suspect it will take some traffic, you know, trucks that were headed for south going down to Yerington over to Shores and down to Las Vegas and into Central California. Take 395. It's quicker for them that way.
Mm-hmm. I'll be interested to see, obviously, trucks that are going to the industrial center will probably end up going that way, but trucks that are just coming through to connect to 80 and then go on into California, be interested to see if that kind of traffic diverts that way or not, because for one thing, you have the truck stops here in town, but another thing, you know, people here know the new highways there, but a truck driver who might be passing through on his way to San Francisco or something, or, you know, anywhere on the West Coast, and he's coming from back east somewhere, he probably doesn't even know that highway's there.
Well, like I said, I think for the local warehouses that ship and distribute out of that area, it'll be a major effect for them.
Mm-hmm.
Long haulers that go to the east and west, you know, don't stop there. I don't think it'll affect them at all.
Mm-hmm.
So,
what that part is going to address, and what the highway opening up to Silver Springs is, a lot of projected growth in not just Fernley, but other parts of the county now too. And I was at a meeting that you were part of about a week and a half ago in Yerington, and the county hosted kind of a group symposium sort of thing on growth and
a workshop on the potential for growth in Lyon County, and the city was invited, Yerington was invited, county manager spoke, they had the Mike Workman from the road department maintenance come speak, some of the utility companies come and spoke, and school district spoke. The school district is rather good shape, with the exception of Fernley High School. It's close to max, but there's always the potential to add a couple of trailers if you have to temporarily. And but they have the ability to use space next to Overland. There's space set aside and everything for another elementary school. Silver Springs is only at 57% use, so there's plenty of room to grow there. That was kind of interesting. Stagecoach? Remember the utility gal? She talked, and she said, we're pretty much max. If somebody wants to develop here, they're going to have to enlarge our facilities and our capabilities. As far as Silver Springs itself, Commissioner Ault keeps bringing back the issue that they've allocated more water. They have a lot of paper water and not that much real water. I mean, the numbers aren't right. Mm-hmm. And I remember the guy from the Carson Conservatory, he said the same thing verbatim. The state engineers issued more water rights than there are. So it'll be interesting to see how that all sorts itself. There is a potential for growth on the central corridor, Highway 50, as there is in the city of Fernley. We'll just have to see who's willing to put money down for that growth. Like I said, right now we've got 11 subdivisions. One or two of them are getting close to being finished up. It's when we see a new subdivision open up, so, okay, I want to build 100 or 200 or 300, 400 homes. you know, here's my phase one. I'm going to build 75, and this is where I want to do it. That will tell us whether we're really going to grow and to what extent and where.
Mm-hmm. Being part of this workshop that you were part of, did you learn anything or, you know, any things that the city needs to do to prepare?
Again, there's only so much we can do. We're strapped with where we're at. We're pushing for infield rather than to create new subdivisions a mile away from our utilities, because it creates a tremendous burden on us to provide that pipeline and everything. Even though the builders will, we require the builder to provide it, at the end of the day, we have to maintain it, and that gets really expensive. So those are things we try to encourage, is that they backfill the infill stuff that we have down the Highway 50 corridor, down 95 corridor, so that it can tie into existing utilities. And we are upgrading the lift station in 50. That should be about a third, if not halfway through right now. And that will open up the Donner Trails area and Silverland area and stuff like that, so that we can handle waste much more efficient than we have in the past. So, but as far as us building a whole bunch of new pipelines and putting in extra wells, no, we have no intention of doing that. That'll be up to the builders. They have to pay for that.
Mm-hmm.
Which brings us back to one of the things that you were there privy to, was we raised the rates on the building department and the planning and the city engineers inspections. The building department permits went up 2.5%, which is a fair and equitable. It worked out to, on a $300,000 home, it was just short of $100. The planning, we were way behind compared to other jurisdictions. And on the civil end of it, we actually have two civil engineers that work for us who go out and do the inspections and make sure that the sanitation hookups are correct, the water hookups are correct, the hydrants are in. And we weren't even charging for those. And so we've got to recoup that money. If you're going to build, you need to pay for that. We need to not use taxpayers' money for that. That's you planners, or the builders always tell us, building pays for itself, so we did a major change. I'm hoping that they will have a couple open houses and explain that to the builders and show them the. From what I get, most builders, all they want is do it on time. Get my permits in, get them out, get my plans checked, and get out of my way and let me build. And as long as we can do that efficiently and safely, that's our goal. What else did we do while you were...
Well, you approved the another thing I'm interested in, approved the Parks Master Plan. And I haven't read through that document yet. Is that mostly for maintenance of the parks you have now, or is that for development of new parks?
It's a development of new parks. You know, a lot of people don't realize, when you put a new house, we get a $800 or $1,000, I can't remember, dollars goes into a parks fund. And so the idea is to try to upgrade and use our parks more efficiently. Currently, if you looked at that, we're the lowest staffed level in parks of all the seven jurisdictions they looked at. And our guys are doing like 19 or 20 acres a park. Everybody else is doing 6 or 7 per employee. We spend the lowest per capita in any of the jurisdictions that they used. We're short 50 acres of park that we will need. We stress our ball fields, and this has been a problem since day one. When I got on the council 7 years ago, I knew that. I went out with the parks staff, and they says, you know, we just put too many hours on this grass. We can't keep ahead of it. It's dying. It just gets beat up between softball and adult leagues, and then you have football, and you have soccer out there, and they're all out there playing on that stuff, and they're practicing. So the recommendations in there were more ball fields, more soccer fields. Some of those we have the property, we just don't have the funds to do. That's the problem. Staffing is an issue. We do a really good job. We should spend, the average citizen should spend about $43 on parks. I don't even give the city a total of $90-something in my taxes because of the deferments. even though I'm assessed $289 for city property tax, because I've been in a house along the way the law reads, I don't pay that. I pay about $90-something dollars. So, you're really having a tough time making ends meet. But it is a good... I've gone through it once, and I'm started going back through it, and now I'm putting post-its on all the questions I have. But it's going to set the guideline for where we want to be. One of the things that it stressed was, you know, these little pocket parks, they take us longer to drive there, pull out the lawnmower and lawn it and cut it, than you know, it's worth. We don't have the time. We need to be a little bit more efficient on our parks. We need to have a destination and a reason for going to that park. I mean, some of them don't even have parking. So you can't even, walk to them. But if you want to have a big picnic and bring family, there's no sanitation, there's no water, no cover. No. We need to be thinking when we do parks that it's a destination and that it has a rhyme or reason. Whether it's a skate park, whether it's basketball, tennis, whether you're going to have a family picnic. You know, it's one of my goals is to have the ability to have a family picnic where you can bring 50, 100 people. We don't have anything that big to do that. And then they talked about the rodeo grounds and the potential for that and some of the upgrades it needs. It's a good... They did a really good overview of the plan. The only thing I really regret is that they didn't... They never addressed a shooting range. And it was just, they said, you know, we just ran out of time and just wasn't an issue. But then I just went out and cleaned the swells this last weekend with the Rotary and the Boy Scouts. And, I mean, you look at all the desert and how much is shot up and the trash and stuff that's out there. It was just sad. Having a place to shoot, I think, is an important thing. And I think it was something we overlooked. But the priority right now are ball fields, football fields, and practice fields. Places to, and making sure that whatever parks we put in are adequate, that you can have 40 or 50 people park near the park and stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, that was the take home I took from it.
Does this plan have a mechanism for funding any of that, or
it talks about raising? Yeah, we should charge more for this and that, and we don't charge enough. And the problem with that is when you look at youth programs, they're barely getting by, and it's grandma and grandpa or mom and dad paying the fees and stuff. I hate charging kids to use our parks. I know, I detest that. If it's an adult softball league, I don't have a problem. They're working. They can afford to pay an extra $5 or $10 a season to put into the pot. But when it's a junior programs, which are the bulk of our programs, I hate charging them. So, but yeah, they talked about some. There's some mechanisms there, but the reality is we're going to have to figure out some way to come up with some taxes and actually set a money aside and use it. We do, like I said, we do have an impact fee. We have a road impact fee of $800. Parks is $1,000, and the school district is $1,600 for each new home. Now, we don't do that for businesses. Maybe we got to look at that and say, okay, we need to put this impact fee on businesses and school, you know, because they also impact us, a reasonable cap. But each new home brings in some chunk of money for roads, parks, and for schools. Washoe County, which really surprised me, does not do that. That's why they fell in despair on their maintenance and their upkeep of their schools. At least Lyon County was smart enough to do that. I was amazed when they did that question that most of the counties don't charge an impact fee for schools, which is really, I just couldn't comprehend that. It doesn't make sense to me. So
we're just about running out of time. Anything coming up soon that you might want to mention or promote or?
Not much. Like I said, we did the spring. We did a cleanup with BLM on their property at the swells. I know some of the naysayers are going to go, "Well, big deal. You took out two 30-yard dumpsters." well, it's better than what the day before. And yeah, there's probably a lot more out there that we could have took, but we ran out of dumpsters. But at least we had 51 people show up, and we did a good job. So, and kudos to the Boy Scout troop that and the young man that working on his Eagle badge to get that done. So, we towed off a car off of 50. Everybody knows it's been sitting there for 4 months. Mm-hmm. Finally got that off. The story on that was somebody, I don't know who left it next to the road. NHP signed them. They moved it off. They moved around a couple different places. Finally wound up on Bureau of Reclamation property. When the Bureau says, we don't have money to move it. The city doesn't have money. It's not in our jurisdiction. Sheriff won't move it. It's not in his. Nobody would touch it. So I went over to Adamant and I just paid for it and we had it moved. Sometimes that's what you got to do. So a sad, sad commentary on but it got done. So.
Well, I appreciate you coming on the show today, and lots of topics we can discuss, so maybe we can get you back on again soon.
Anytime. Anytime.
Do it again.
We have council meeting Wednesday night, this Wednesday, so you're welcome to come.
All right. Well, this has been Mayor Roy Edgington on the Rural Report here on Biggest Little Radio 101.3 FM. I'm Robert Perea, publisher and editor of the Fernley Reporter, hoping you have a good week, and we'll see you next Tuesday.